Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. What we do is we teach you how to maximize your business profits, show you how to teach you and the best practices for profitability, and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer, your Profit and Sales Evangelist, if you will. Again, thank you for listening in. Check out our website, Better Sales and Profits Now. That's bettersalesandprofitsnow.com. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Today, we're going to talk about what you need to know about writing and marketing your book. We have a very special guest, Elizabeth Atkins, with us, and I'm going to introduce her in a few minutes. But let me just ask you, with so many books being written and so many books being published, why is it that there are only a few bestsellers? So why do people do this? So what we're going to do is teach you what you need to know about writing and marketing a book. It's a very competitive marketplace. Whether you want to sell your book through distributors or in the back of a room when you speak, Elizabeth Atkins will share the do's and don'ts and what you must know to be a best-selling author. You can check out her website. Her blog is theblissreport.com, theblissreport.com, and also she has her own website, elizabethatkins.com. Elizabeth Atkins, she speaks and writes from a spectacular human spectrum that embodies as a daughter of an African-American judge and a Roman Catholic priest who was English, French, Canadian, Cherokee. We could be related, Elizabeth. Anyway, Elizabeth is a best-selling author of 5 novels, including Dark Secret and White Chocolate, and she was featured on the Montel Williams Show. She's partnered with Billy Dee Williams for Twilight, and she has ghostwritten 5 nonfiction books. She also helped networking guru George Frazier on his new book called Click, and Going Circle, from a quadriplegic record company CEO, Ken Tyson. So, Elizabeth Atkins, welcome to the program. How are you? How are you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Pretty good. We've got a few minutes, maybe about 30 minutes or so. Let me ask you, you've been involved with some very, very special books. Why do people want to write their own book with so much the odds of that they won't be a bestseller? Why do people do it?
Well, why do we do anything? Why do we open our own businesses? Why do we strive for our dreams? It's what we want to do. It's what we feel driven to do. It's our calling. We have a special message. And specifically for your listening audience, writing a book can be one of the marketing tools available. When you have a book, it makes you an automatic expert in what you do, and that can lead to media appearances as an expert on CNN, or you can get interviews on Larry King, and all of these things have a snowball effect, and you become branded as the expert in your field. So a book is a very powerful, powerful tool for entrepreneurs to use to bolster their business and their brand.
Wow, interesting. So your educational background is spectacular. Graduate University of Michigan, I've got to say that. Go Maize and Blue, because I'm a Michigan alumnus also. And you have a master's degree from the Graduate School of Journalism from Columbia.
Yes, I do. Uh-huh.
Very impressive. So where do you draw your success from writing?
Well, just to segue from my education, I have very strong writing skills from being an English major in Michigan, working at the campus newspaper, and then having a master's in journalism and working at newspapers and TV. I have extremely strong writing skills and the journalistic abilities to boil complex information down into very reader-friendly, fun, edutaining formats. So that translates into the ability to write books, whether they're fiction or nonfiction, that people can read quickly and easily and feel captivated and compelled and inspired. So
you slipped a word in on us.
What's that?
Edutainment. Edutainment. What is that? What are you talking about there?
Well, one major theme of all my books is being biracial. I write a lot about mixed race characters, and I call it edutainment because it's entertaining. Like, you might be reading a sexy novel on the beach, but it's got substance, and you're learning something about life, love, the world, race, romance. You're learning while you're being entertained, so I call it edutainment. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's pretty. Did you brand that? That might be a good one for you to put on a T-shirt or something.
I think I don't think I made it up. I've read it.
Trademark it. Okay,
oh,
this will be our secret, just between you and I. What is the keys to success in writing a book?
Believing that you have something important to contribute to the world. When I wrote my first book, White Chocolate, I didn't know if anybody wanted to read a book about a biracial woman. But I knew that I'm not a tragic mulatto like Sarah Jane in Imitation of Life. I knew that I'm a triumphant person. I'm confident. I have positive things to contribute as a mixed-race woman in a black and white world, and an increasingly racially blurred world, thankfully. So I believed in my heart that I had a story to tell. So I wrote it. And I didn't listen. I didn't listen to any naysayers. I didn't have any pessimism. I just did it. And thankfully, many, many, many readers have told me they stayed up till 3 a.m. reading the book because they couldn't put it down.
Wow.
Even though they had to go to work the next morning. So the biggest key to success is believing, whether you're writing a novel or a nonfiction book as an entrepreneur, that you have something important to contribute that can help people, whether that's to inspire them, to entertain them, to teach them how to run their business, or teach them success secrets of the millionaire mind. Whatever it is, you have to believe that your message has value.
Okay, now I'm looking at your bio. You have been on Montel Williams, Oprah Winfrey. You were on the Tyra Banks Show. You've been on BET's Meet the Faith. CBS Evening News, Good Morning America. So when you write a book, you just can't write a book. Is that correct? What's the business side of writing a book? Why did you decide to go on those shows? Why did they invite you on?
I think one key element of success is having something unique, targeting a market, targeting a niche that hasn't been explored, and the whole biracial area of writing was pretty much unexplored. We've seen very successful books since I began writing, like The Color of Water by James McBride and others. But at the beginning, it was quite unique. People were not writing about the mixed race issue. Now, of course, it's in the headlines every day with Barack Obama running for president. But when I set out to write in the early 90s, it was just not out of the closet yet. It was still sort of taboo, and many people grew up with this issue being taboo. So when you take a subject that hasn't been explored and you make it yours, you own it, and you write about it in a unique way, people want to talk to you, and that's what happened to me, writing about mixed-race issues and entertaining people at the same time was a unique concept. And as a journalist, I've written nonfiction articles about it for magazines, and the New York Times, and so I sort of carved out a niche for myself.
Okay. Now you've got a master's degree from Columbia. You graduated University of Michigan. You've got extensive writing experience. You've taught at Wayne State University. I used to live close to Wayne State University, by the way, in the Jeffries Project. Oakland University, Wayne State Community College, and you were a guest speaker at Power Networking. So do you really have to have the credentials of journalism or writing to write a good book?
Not at all. I mean, Terry McMillan was a legal secretary when she started.
I didn't know that.
John Grisham was a lawyer. And, you know, lawyers are notorious for being terrible writers, some of them. They write with these giant words that you don't know what it means. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what your background is. What matters is this burning desire in your heart to write a book. And it really takes a burning desire because hard work takes discipline. I mean, when I'm sitting there at the computer all day long, there's 50,000 things I sometimes want to get up and do. But I have to sit there. I have to focus. I have to get it done. And that's the number one key to success in becoming an author is you have to write. You can talk
about
it. Yeah.
Minor point. Got to write when you want to do a book. I got that.
People say, oh, I'm writing a book. But when's the last time you sat down for 3 hours straight and really wrote? You know? I hear that a lot. It's hard. We all have 24 hours, so we have to make that time. And with our instant world, our attention spans are shorter. It's really difficult sometimes to concentrate and focus and all the distractions. Your email is dinging. Your text messages are ringing. Your phone is blowing up. You know, you might have a couple phones. Some people have pagers, too, and, you know, your text messages and your BlackBerry, and you got to put all that stuff down, turn it off, and isolate yourself the good old-fashioned way with pen and paper or you and your computer and get the work done.
So is it so when you want to write a 200-page book, 150-page, 300-page book, is it the old adage or old advice is you eat an elephant one bite at a time, so how much time do you set aside for yourself to write this book daily?
Absolutely. And when I give my seminar on how to write a book and get published, that's one of the key things. You have to, just like when you open a business, you have a business plan, you have a strategy, you have to set a schedule with yourself and decide, commit, that I'm going to write an hour a day, I'm going to write 3 hours a day, I'm going to devote every Sunday to my book, or whatever your schedule allows. And we all have We have work, we have families, we have relationships, we have hobbies, we have our workout regimen, we have errands to run. But if you commit, you can find that you can carve out that extra time and think about, you know, don't sit on the couch and watch TV for 3 hours in the evening, or don't chit-chat on the phone, or don't do that extra fun activity like go to a movie. Invest that time in your book. 1 hour a day for 365 days can be your book.
Okay, so there are different types of books, correct?
Yeah.
If somebody wants to write a book, what are the different types of books that one can write? They're like nonfiction, there's fiction, but...
Right. Well, I think for your target audience, the nonfiction how-to book is really ideal. You might have started a business with $5 in your pocket. And you can share with people how to start a business with $5. You know, how did you do that? How did you finance that? How did you get people to believe in you? How did you get customers? If you're maybe an online guru, you know how to market and do viral marketing for yourself, and maybe you've made something substantial happen in your career as a result, you can share that with people because that's so mysterious to many of us. So what you do is you take your unique idea, your expertise, and you channel it all into a book that with the goal of helping people. You can't be selfish. You can't want to hoard your secrets so nobody else can be successful. You want to truly have in your heart a sense of wanting to help other people. And when that happens, you have instant success because people sense your authenticity as someone who wants to help them. So then that's a nonfiction book full of information that can help other people. And in your instance, for your audience, it's entrepreneurs. But if, say, for example, you have a unique business and you get to travel around the world and you get to meet all kinds of wild people, well, maybe you could take some of those interesting characters and make a novel out of it, like a business owner who gets to go to these exotic locales and meet these mysterious people and gets involved in all kinds of drama. Maybe that's the stuff of a novel that's like a thriller. Maybe you found yourself in danger or you want to add the element of danger. You can make a thriller. If you're a lawyer, it can be a legal thriller. If you're a business owner, you can take your unique business, like say you own a spa. Maybe you want to write a story about wild stuff that happens at your spa and people who come in and, you know, I mean, the sky is the limit as far as what you can create.
Okay. But is it really practical for a business owner to he or she has to run a business, but now they want to write a book? Is that taking on too much?
No, if they want to elevate themselves to the next level, if they write a nonfiction book that establishes them as an expert and they're all over the media being interviewed as the expert for that particular issue, that's going to draw business to their door. Isn't that what we all want?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I got to ask this question. Business side of writing a book. You know, the joy, the creative process of writing a book is great. You put your soul, your heart, your mind into this book, and then you have it. So what is the practical business side of writing a book? You've written so many books. Help us understand what that process is like.
Well, there's two things. If you self-publish and you have a base of customers, you can sell a lot of books and make a lot of money. You have to have that entrepreneurial drive in order to actually sell the book yourself and be your number one salesperson. That means you, when you self-publish, that means that you pay a printer to produce your book, and say you spend $10,000 to produce X number of copies of your book. Once you earn back that $10,000, all of it's pure profit for you. And say it only costs $5 to produce each book, and you mark it up to $15, that's a $10 profit on each book. That's huge. Whereas if you go the traditional route of selling the rights to your book to Simon & Schuster or Random House or a mainstream publisher, they'll write you a check called an advance to purchase the rights to your book so they can publish it. And then you can earn royalties against that advance. So once you say they give you $100,000 to publish your book, once they earn back their $100,000, you start earning royalties.
Well, that sounds very interesting. So it's realistic that publishing a book could only cost you $5 or a book? Is that hard copy and a soft cover?
You know, the pricing varies tremendously, and I'm actually partnering with a printer here in Detroit to ghostwrite books for people. So we're actually providing a service where it's sort of one-stop shopping of having the printer, having your ghostwriter, having the whole package where we'd make you a website and we'd market and we'd do everything for you. Whereas if you do it on your own, you're sort of ordering a la carte, like X number of pages, trade paperback versus hardcover, you know, cream pages versus white pages. I mean, there's so many things to choose from. So offering this service where we are marketing to entrepreneurs especially who want to get their book done and want to take the mystique out of it and just have everything presented to you in one package and one-stop shopping. So the pricing varies wildly. I recently got a pricing for a book that's 300 pages, you can get 1,000 copies for $4,500. So that's like $450 per book, and then if you mark it up to $15, you're making $10 on each book. So once you earn back your $4,500 that you spent, that's a lot of money you can make there.
Wow. Okay, so you said this company in Detroit, we'll give them a shameless plug. What's the name of this group? Or do they just contact you? How does that work?
They contact me because we're totally in the formative stages, but we're ready to get it going. And, I mean, it's going to be really phenomenal because it'll be one-stop shopping for people to get their book done with one online system.
Okay, and your website again, if we want to contact you regarding that, which one would we use?
It's ElizabethAtkins.com.
Okay. All right, ElizabethAtkins.com. Okay. So the business side of the book, you've got the economics of you got to publish the book. What about promoting the book? How does that work on the business side?
Yeah, that's a huge task unto itself. As we know, marketing, you can do 48 hours a day and still feel like you're not doing enough. But marketing your book, visibility is very important. So the more media you can get, the better. If you can position yourself to be an expert, you know, paying attention to the cycles, like say, for example, you have a cookbook that deals with turkey, you know, Thanksgiving is going to be your major marketing time, or say you have a summer light salad cookbook, summertime is going to, spring is really going to be your key marketing time. So, you know, understanding how to market something. But, I mean, I market myself all the time. I sell books at the post office. I sell books.
Really? Besides work at the post office, there's also Elizabeth's books at the post office. Okay.
The point is, you just talk to everybody, be nice to everybody. You tell them you're an author, and I discovered people are thrilled to meet an author. I had no idea. I mean, they just are so happy. I think it's such a huge accomplishment, and you have this instant celebrity status in their mind, and their eyes glow, and they want to hear more, and what did you write, and where's your book, and how can I get it, and will you come to my book club with 15 more books, and yes, can we write about you in our newsletter, and oh, I have a blog, let me write about you. And so that gets me to the next thing with the internet. If you have any kind of savvy for internet marketing, I mean, it's a done deal. So,
how are you using technology? Well, how can people use technology to market the book?
Well, there's something called viral marketing. I'm studying it right now, and I'm actually consulting with people to increase my ability to use technology because it's just limitless. You can use podcasts, like, say, an excerpt from your book. George Fraser announced at Power Networking that his book, Click, he is actually selling the ability to read the book day by day in your text messages. So you would
via the cell phone.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that is. It gives me some ideas because I've got tons of content.
See, you don't even have to buy the book. You can just buy the text message service, and every day for the rest of the year, they're going to text message you part of the book that you can read while you're standing in line at the bank, or in the grocery store, or sitting in the park. Isn't that wild?
It is. So you mentioned, I met you last year at George Fraser's Power Networking event, and then this year also, and you mentioned a term, and it was called a news peg.
Oh.
So what is a news peg? Did I get that right? How does that relate to promoting, marketing, selling your book?
A news peg is a journalism term, and say, for example, you have a story about a new home security system. Well, instead of just doing a story about the home security system, which will sound like an ad for the company, you need a news peg. So you go to a neighborhood that's had a rash of break-ins, you see, and your news peg is that there's all this breaking news of these crimes being inflicted on homes, and then that way you can sort of weave in the story about the new home security system. So a news peg is something that's happening in current events that bolsters or gives legitimacy to your issue. So say, for example, your book is about how you survived domestic violence, okay? There's a lot of domestic violence stories out there. But if the FBI or the Justice Department suddenly releases a study about domestic violence or releases new statistics about how domestic violence is increasing or decreasing or more people are getting murdered, that's your news peg. This study, this report, this new information takes a whole broad issue and makes it relevant right now. Make sense?
Yeah, that does. And see, you can actually use technology. And I asked you the question about how using technology. You could put a Google alert on certain keywords, and when things come up, you'll know about it and you can respond to them. So that's another way. And you mentioned another thing. You can start blogging. You can start podcasting, as you mentioned, but also getting involved in the social media, the MySpace. Although I don't have a page on MySpace, but I do have a page on Facebook and LinkedIn, and I've also created a social online network for my strategic partners and clients. And so you could actually use this, and I wrote an article recently on how Barack Obama is using social media to move his campaign forward. He's doing pretty good so far. So good. I want to go back to the question of self-publishing and having a publisher and an agent, if you had a choice, should you self-publish or should you go the publisher-agent route?
If you have an agent and you have a connection and you have the hottest book anybody's ever heard of, you
mm-hmm.
should go the traditional route. If you are just starting your business and you don't have an agent and you don't have any national name recognition, you should self-publish. And maybe,
okay.
Yeah, it's just the reality. I mean, even if you do have a national base, that doesn't even guarantee you a book deal. I mean, it really, just like every other industry, publishing is scaled back because of the economy, and it takes a big idea and a big name to get a good book deal. So
mm-hmm.
I highly recommend self-publishing. I mean, if you got a New York book deal with a publisher there, it takes 18 months to 2 years for you to have the book in your hand. It's a long, drawn-out process.
How long is that?
18 months to 2 years.
How long did you say?
Almost 2 years.
2 years if you're going with a publisher or an agent,
yeah, Ralph? Well, I could have a book, like, say, for example, after 9/11. There were all kinds of books that came out immediately. Unless you have a book that's about some big breaking news that has immediate saleability, your book is going to be 8 months to 2 years.
Oh,
but
wow, that's a long time.
If you self-publish, there's some companies that will have your book to you in a week.
You're kidding. A week? A week?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep. So it's your choice. I think the more immediately you can get the book in your hand, the better. Then you can start selling it and building your name and your network. So it's your choice.
And you mentioned, I know that you've ghostwritten some books. How does that work? And what's the process like? And is that a viable route to go if you don't want to write it yourself? Do you hire somebody like yourself to ghostwrite?
Yes, that's why we're starting this service where we provide writers to people and the book publishing services, because if you don't have any writing skills or if you are super busy and consumed by building your business, you don't have time to sit down and write a book. So you hire someone you essentially pay them to write your book. It's very important that if you hire a ghostwriter, it's somebody who's reputable, somebody who has skills that have been demonstrated prior to your deal, somebody who's reliable and timely, somebody who gets you, somebody who understands your voice, your vision, who can capture that in words, because we all speak in a different way. We all express ourselves in unique ways. Some of us are very formal in our speech. Some of us are super casual, and we want our ghostwriter to capture our voice. So it's really important that you don't just pick the first person who shows up and says, sure, I'll write your book. Very important that you have someone who can tailor-make your book as closely to your own style as you would do it.
Okay,
and then
so
essentially, most of the time, a ghostwriter will have a flat fee, and
mm-hmm.
you pay them half up front or a portion up front, and then the second half upon completion of the manuscript, or you might have a payment structure where they get paid in increments according to the work they've done. That's probably the safer way to go. So it can be wonderful, but it can be a disaster if you're not working with the right person.
Okay, what would be maybe the five criteria for looking at a ghostwriter? And then I want to add, what would be the five criteria for a publishing company? So in terms of if you want to hire a ghostwriter, what five things or three things should you want to look for?
Okay. Number one is something straight out of George Frazier's book. We work with people that we like. We work with people that we trust. We work with people who share our common values and visions. So you want to connect with someone. You want to click with them. You want it to be somebody who gets you, who understands you and feels what you're saying and understands where you're going and knows how to express that. So that's something that you can't even, that's not on a resume, that's not in a bio, that's a vibe that you feel from someone. You either, you meet people, you click with them, you think, wow, I can trust this person with my work.
Mm-hmm.
That's one, and that's number one with anything that we do, whether you're getting married or whether you're hiring a lawyer. You have to vibe with that person. Secondly, I would recommend track record. Somebody may have never written a book and just write a blockbuster the first time out, but I would rather see someone who has demonstrated that they can execute a book in a timely manner and do a good job at it, be accurate and trustworthy and not plagiarize. And so that's number two, a track record. Number three, I would really want some referrals. I would want to talk to people who have worked with this person about what they're like. Are they reliable? Are they? Is their work clean? Is it accurate? Is it? Do they do what they say they're going to do when they're going? They say they'll do it. Like if they say they'll have the book done by August, is it done by August? Or do they call and say, oh, it's going to be six more weeks. Sorry. Who makes excuses all the time? Oh, I got sick, or oh, you know, there's people who make excuses all the time and don't do what they're supposed to do. So you want someone who's reliable and you have references to prove it. Number four, I think in choosing your ghostwriter, you should definitely make sure you have everything detailed in writing. As far as a contract that details all the information about the deal, and your ghostwriter should be comfortable with agreeing to that. That means deadlines, that means compensation, that means services as far as how the information is exchanged, that means the terms of the agreement, who owns the material, who's responsible for promoting it, publishing it. And lastly, with your ghostwriter, you want to make sure that this person has excellent grammatical skills and the ability to boil down potentially complex information into simple, reader-friendly material.
That'd be really bad if they didn't have good writing skills.
Yeah, I know.
That could mess up your day and your book.
Absolutely.
Wow. And how does this apply to publishing? What are some key criteria that we should use in selecting the right or best publisher for you?
So are you talking about a publishing company or self-publishing?
I guess self-publishing.
Okay. For self-publishing, you should definitely shop around. There's a whole bunch of companies on the internet that you can work with that are highly reputable, and they have all kinds of packages. But you should shop around and see what your options are. And the number one way to do that, I think, is to network with people who've done books. And if you want to self-publish, talk to other people who've done it and find out what the pitfalls are that they experienced and find out what the positive points are that they would recommend. So you want to learn from their experience, both good and bad, and you want to find out, well, here's an example. I'm in the process of self-publishing a book, and I talked to someone who just did it. And they said, yeah, I went with this company. They had great quality books, but they kept pushing back my deadline. First it was May, then it was June, then they said the book would be ready in July. I don't want, if I set up some events based on the publication date, I don't want this printing company calling me to say, oh, it's going to be six more weeks. Then I have to change my events. They may have already been publicized. That's a mess.
Right.
Company that's going to stick to the schedule that we set. See what I mean?
So
you could learn from other people that the company's not going to tell you this. Of course they're going to tell you they do everything on time.
Then they walk on water.
Right, okay. Exactly. But you can also, in your comparison shopping, you can see that prices vary wildly. One company told me they do my book for $4.50 per copy. Another company told me $6 per copy for the same exact book.
Why is that? Does the cost are different, or just go for the going rate, or that you'll pay more?
Why does Starbucks charge $4 for a certain kind of coffee when you can get it at McDonald's for a fraction of that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Just
I got you.
It's branding.
Yeah. Got you. Okay. All right, then. Well, we're out of time. I could go on and on with this conversation. But what upcoming events or promotions, anything you're doing that you want the listening audience to know about?
Well, I'm going to be doing my How to Write a Book and Get Published seminar at the Missouri Black Expo in St. Louis, August 23rd and 24th. So if anybody's attending that. But my website is always full of helpful information. And I would encourage people, if they have any specific questions about writing their book, to email me at elizabethadkins.com, and I would be delighted to share my expertise to guide people toward their own dream of being a published author.
All right. And you also have the blog, The Bliss Report, is that correct?
Yeah. So if you're feeling blue and you need a pickup, The Bliss Report is the place where you can bask in the sunnier side of life and read about how I've overcome a bunch of things like weight issues and divorce and racial identity stuff. And the way I deal with it is I focus on positive things.
Mm-hmm. Letting it you got to do that.
And I've mastered the art of doing that so well that I started a blog called The Bliss Report so I can share my techniques for bliss and how you can pull yourself up and out of a bad mood by following certain techniques that I use every day to feel better.
I actually, before the show, I got one on my run. Came back, I'm energized, ready to go interview Elizabeth Adkins about writing a book. All right, thank you. So before we wrap up, we've been talking for a little bit. If you could summarize our conversation, what do you want our listeners to get out of this conversation that we just had?
I want them to get out of this conversation that although writing and publishing a book sounds like a huge, lofty ambition that may be unattainable to most, my message to you is you can do it. It's very simple, it's very affordable, and it could be the best tool for you to push yourself to the next level as a business person, as an individual, as in your level of fulfillment in life. It can be the best experience you've ever had that can snowball into many, many more positive experiences. So you can do it. You can do it. You can become a published author. You can write your book. You can make it happen. And you can have a wonderful time and make a lot of money at the same time.
That's fun, having a good time and making money too. That sounds like a passionate entrepreneur to me. All right. So thank you so very much, Elizabeth. And again, your websites are?
It's elizabethadkins.com and theblissreport.com.
All right. Thank you so very much. We've got to get you back and talk about your next book that you're going to write or the next big deal that you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, then. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome,
Elizabeth,
Ken.
Elizabeth Adkins. All right, then. So that is the show. So what are you going to do with this information? More importantly, how are you going to apply what you've learned today? Definitely check out Elizabeth Adkins and the Bliss Report, her blog, and elizabethadkins.com. And if you're going to be in the, I guess, Missouri area, check her stuff out. So definitely. Anyway, as we wrap up, want to remind you guys to check out My Business Community. That's my social online network. If you want to join, it's free. Go ahead and join. If you have a comment or a suggestion, or you want to be on the show, contact me through mybusinesscommunity.com or the blog, Blog Talk Radio, or E3C Podomatic, my pod, and my coaching website, which is Better Sales and Profits Now. That's Better Sales and Profits Now. So as we wrap up, let me remind you to dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, stay profitable, and definitely get that set. Brian Hunley, New Wine Music, take us out.